And that's because I texted Amber the wrong passage this week. So it says in your bulletin, 1 Corinthians 15, but really we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14. So if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to be reading verses 26 through 40 today. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 26 through 40. But before we do that, just want to reframe. We've been talking for the last several weeks about the spiritual gifts. And we've spent some time on this, and there's a good reason that we've spent time on it, because the spiritual gifts, as we've talked about in previous weeks, are gifts that God gives to each one who is in Him for the building up of His kingdom, for the building up of His church. And they are a critical and integral part in how God transforms each of our lives. Personally, yes, but also corporately, as we bring those gifts together, we've seen that they have a beautiful way of creating almost like a, an ecosystem where our humanity is intermingled with God's power and His Spirit, and He speaks to His people through the gifts. They enable us to become transformed, to be more like Christ. They enable the church to see His kingdom come, His will be done. This is through the gifts, through God speaking to His children and through His children receiving and sharing with the rest of the church what it is that God says. And as I have in previous weeks, I want to encourage you all, as we think about these things, to give yourself space to dream a little bit. And then not dreaming in a sense of like, I'm not telling you to daydream during the message today. I think you understand what I mean, because I've kind of hammered on this for the last several weeks. We need to give ourselves space to expand our notion, to expand our ideas about what church is, to maybe break us out of some ruts that we've gotten ourselves into, maybe, maybe not. But realizing that we are part of a great mystery, and embracing some of that mystery, that we are all part of something much bigger than ourselves individually. Even we're part of something bigger than ourselves just as some kind of a social group. We are called to be His church. And we are tied together and interdependent on one another. We need God. We need His powerful, Spirit-led intervention in our lives and in our church, for that matter, to become what He has made us to become. Now, we've talked about, just to recap, I know we're spending a little extra time on recapping, but it's important to kind of reframe this again. We've been talking about the gifts that were listed in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, gifts of prophecy, miracles, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And we must keep in front of us that all these gifts, they're not for just us to have or for us to use on our own, but what are they powered by? Remember the battery illustration. They're powered by God. They're from God and through God and to God and His love. Important for us to remember, this is not us. It mandates humility as we talk about these things and gratitude to sort of open the way. So let's just read this passage here, and we'll pray and kind of dig in a little bit. We're going to be reading again, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse 26. He says, "What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." Goes on, "As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. Certainly a lot for us to unpackage there today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for your word, and we thank you that you are the word, and we thank you that you still speak, that you are not a dead God, but you are very much alive, and you are very much here with us and in us. This morning, Lord, as we continue to unpackage and to seek out what it is that you say in your word and what it means for us, I ask you, Lord, that you would send your spirit here, that you would testify in our hearts through these words and through what is shared today, and that you would get glory, that you would transform us as your people to be more like you. Lord, I do ask, as I do each week, that you would smooth my wrinkles and guard my words this morning, that we might hear from you and that you might get glory in this time. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, certainly a lot there, maybe that takes us up a step from what we've talked about in previous weeks. We've already talked about the fact that as we maybe attempt to take a fresh perspective or take a fresh view of the gifts and what they might mean for us as we gather, we acknowledge that there are some obstacles that lay in our way. And that's pretty obvious. Whenever we encounter change or opportunity or a step forward, or in this case, maybe a step up, we always encounter problems, right? Resistance to that growth. Sometimes we are just really uncertain. And in this case, these things we're talking about, these gifts of the Spirit, especially when we talk about people prophesying in church when we're together, or people speaking in a tongue or interpreting a tongue, there's a great deal of mystery surrounding it, right? A great deal of uncertainty. That can be an obstacle. There are just human elements, too, that get mixed in, that cause us to maybe hesitate or cause us to second guess, an obstacle, fear of speaking up, maybe fear of, you know, that you might be judged by someone or something, or seen as being silly, or maybe the fear of being wrong, you know, saying something incorrectly, or possibly also the fear or the uncertainty of feeling like you're being disruptive, right, or saying something that wouldn't be viewed as normal. We self-limit God. We limit God's working through us often ourselves. We shut it down before sometimes God can do what he wants to do. I hope as we've been speaking about these things, I hope, it's my sincere hope, that you've been sort of taking these ideas or taking these truths home with you outside of church. You know, we've been talking about spiritual gifts and what they maybe are, what some of them are, and what's a necessity for us in that as we talk about spiritual gifts and as we are told to cultivate them and to seek these high gifts that God has given us. It requires us to identify, doesn't it? At least in some regard, what gifts has he given me? We know he's given each one gifts, right? So hopefully you've been doing that. Hopefully you've taken these things home or taken them into the conversations that you've been having with your brothers and sisters. Talk to the Lord about it, about what gifts he would use in your life. And we must make space to envision what our gatherings could look like. As I said, I think it was last week, maybe it was the week before, there's room to grow. There is room here, there's room in this body, this church, to grow, to expand. And I think we have to latch onto that truth and ask God, well, okay, what is my place in it? Now, as we read this passage for today, we get kind of a I think it's a fascinating look at what worship times looked like in this time where Paul is writing for the church in Corinth. And so in some ways, it's very similar to some of the things that we do. He talks about here, it says, when you get together, there's a hymn, there's a lesson, a revelation, or a tongue, or an interpretation. So let's transpose this. What is it that we do each week? Okay, do we sing a hymn? Yeah, we sing songs, right? We sing songs that talk about God and his attributes and where and our relationship with him. Got some highlight slides. That's cool. Don't we? Now, it would be easy for us to differentiate, well, we didn't sing any hymns today. Is that what the Bible's talking about? Is only this certain list of songs are hymns? Okay. So we sing songs, right? We sing together. There is a lesson. Typically, there is a lesson. A revelation. Some weeks, right? Some weeks, and then Paul talks about a tongue or an interpretation. These elements that Paul is talking about here are elements that were brought forth in early corporate worship and are still brought forth today. They might look a little bit different. Some though, we have changed our perspective on a little bit, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Now, but first, it's very important that all of these things, everything that we do here together, everything that we do in corporate worship, why do we do it? The goal of doing what we do and bringing what we bring is to build up the church and to glorify God, obviously. But as people bring gifts, when we're talking about bringing a lesson or bringing a prophecy or bringing a word from God, whether it be in a tongue or otherwise, they are for building up the church. There is a human element that tries to sneak in sometimes, and we see that, and we know that this was present in the Corinthian church because Paul addressed it earlier about when he's talking about sort of the people in earlier chapters, people bringing in gifts and lording it over others, or trying to make others look better than others. We know that's not why God gave us gifts, is to make one person look better than another person. God gives gifts to speak to his people and to build up his church. But I want you to notice that in these list of elements that were brought, a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, or a tongue, or an interpretation of tongues, it seems, at least to me, as I read this, that there is an offering of the people as we offer these words. What I don't see in this passage, and I don't see prevalent in other places where it talks about how the people gathered and worshiped together, is I don't see it say, dangerous territory maybe, I don't know. What it doesn't say is, everyone sit down, be quiet, and listen to what the pastor has to say, sing the songs, and then leave. What we get is a much different picture, isn't it? We get it. What we do is, what we get a picture of is the Spirit of God acting in his people to bring out his voice. And that is it might be a pretty wild or mysterious departure from the way that many of us have been trained or raised up in church. Because that's the way many of us have gone to church, right? We go, we sit, we be quiet. That was drilled into me from a very early age. Drilled into me. I don't know if I ever got taken out. Did I ever get taken out and got a whooping for not sitting still in church? That's because I was such a good boy. But it was expected of me, right? Be quiet. Sit still. Be quiet. I think maybe that's one of the biggest mysteries or differences is in the way what I read here, and as we listen to this instruction, is that we get a picture of the involvement of the people of the church. Is that something that we could use more of? I would suggest, yes, it is. I believe that God is speaking to each one right now, even. And he may have words for our church that we need to make space for. We need to make space for that. So we'll leave that right there for now and go on. Now Paul gives us some guidance here. And guidance is good, right? Especially when we're talking about things maybe that we don't practice very often, or things that maybe we need to grow in, it's nice to have a little bit of guidance. Certainly. You ever got the new tool that doesn't come with any instructions and you're trying to figure it out? Sometimes that's not so good. So Paul gives some instruction. He says, when speaking in a tongue, there in verse 27, if any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. If there isn't anybody to interpret, then they should be silent and speak to themselves and to God. It's pretty good. I think it's a pretty straightforward instruction, right? Now, there's some things that we can learn from this, and tongues is not something that, in my experience here, that I've ever heard here. Not to say that it hasn't happened, but I've just not been aware of it. But a couple of things that we can gather from this bit of teaching is that when Paul is describing tongues being offered or the gift of tongues being used in the church, he's not talking about just a bunch of ecstatic, erratic noise, right? Five different people all trying to talk at once in tongues, and that makes no sense. We've already learned, right, that God uses that to speak to his people, to build up his church. So it's something that we can gather. It is not to be uncontrolled or disorderly, but here what is implied is that the speaker, the person through whom God is giving this word, ought to have the ability to control themselves enough to speak in turn and in an orderly way so that whatever it is that God is saying can be brought to the greater church and allow for interpretation. And we've already talked about it, but if no interpreter, the instruction is to keep silent and to speak to himself and to God. Again. This is from God. And it's a real gift that he gives to his people for building up the church. Therefore, it is important that the message gets across. Now, he talks about let two or three people speak and let others weigh what is said. Let two or three people talk and then weigh what is said. Would that be acceptable for us to do that? Be kind of different. Let the others weigh what is said. Now, what he's talking about here is here's an important distinction, I think, that maybe we should talk about. It doesn't say that what is said should only be evaluated or only be judged by those with a certain gift, but that the people should weigh what is said. Is God only speaking in a few people? Ideally. What we learn is that God is speaking to everybody, right? He should be. We should have ourselves in an attitude of receiving from God so that when you hear something at church, do you have, as one of God's children, as one who in whom he has his spirit, should you be able to hear what is being said and to be able to evaluate that by his spirit to know if it's from God or if it's applicable to you? You're all doing that right now, hopefully, right? You're all taking it in and evaluating it. This is good, and it's what we're told to do. But it's an important check and balance. God working in each one to make himself known to the group. I don't know about you, but I think often about this, about as we talk about, you know, where can we grow as a church? Where can we take a step up when we gather together? How can we more open ourselves up to what God is saying to us, what God is doing in lives? I think as I look at this and as I think about, you know, and try to put the pieces in, you try to fill in the blanks, right? Like, what did that look like when they were all gathered there? What did it look like? Is it something that we should, reset, reformat? Think about incorporating more of these in a different way. To me, it builds a beautiful picture of, maybe I sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but it builds a beautiful picture of each person, each member of the body doing their part to seek from God and pass along what it is that they are hearing from God. What does that require, though? It requires us all to be spiritually engaged. It requires us all to be listening to God. It requires us all to be seeking and striving for His voice. And it also requires a willingness to share, which I think is one area where we might struggle, or maybe a couple areas. Now, I do need to cover it because it's in here. And the pastor that was here before me, Dave, he wasn't directly in front of me. Dave Pinkerton, and then it was the guy after me. You guys remember? What was the guy's name? Doesn't matter. Huh? Yeah, right before me. Mike Moore? Okay. So it wasn't Mike, it was Dave. He used to have a saying that I latched onto. He says, if I step on your toes are in the wrong place. No, I'm not going to go too far with this, but it's important here because I made a bad joke last week after church. So last week, I shared a dream that I had, right? Remember that? I shared a dream that I had, and I said, you know, I felt that it was important and that it meant something, and I shared it. And afterwards, Shannon got up, if you remember, if you're here, Shannon got up, and she verified the dream, right? Is that fair to say? Okay. She verified. Listen to this dream. This means something. This is important. And so then we get to this week, and I made a bad joke because I said, thank you, Shannon, for sharing that. Thank you for your word. And I'm glad it was, you know, before next week when I have to tell the women to all be quiet, you know. No. It was a bad joke. I shouldn't have said it. But I had to confess it. So as we read this, I'm just going to go back over here. It says in verse 34, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they're not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. It reads here as an absolute, does it not? Now, it's very widely kind of agreed upon. Now, we studied, remember, in the beginning part of this book, Paul talked about and taught about women coming sort of in worship and prophesying in an unworthy manner. Do you remember that? With their heads uncovered and sort of almost the sense of almost in a provocative way. There were definitely cultural elements at work in the Corinthian church that are not at work here. Okay? For example, if you would transplant the people that may have attended this church that Paul is talking to, and you would have implanted them in here last week, they would may have looked at what Shannon did as being, oh! She had her hand down and uncovered, and she was standing up and speaking a word in church. We have to be sensitive to what the Bible says, but we also have to understand the Spirit and the context in which it is spoken. And I'm not telling you that, I'm not going to stand up here this morning and say that women have no place to speak in church, because I don't think that's true. We already have previous instruction in the early part, as I said, about women coming in an unworthy manner, perhaps, but it didn't give a total and complete prohibition. What Paul is talking about is the same things here as he was back in that passage, that women ought to be careful, that we need to be aware of, about speaking up and judging prophecies and revelations and tongues. And let me give you an example. So, for example, if I were to give you a word from the Lord, okay, a piece of instruction or a revelation or speak in a tongue, and my wife were to stand up, if Tony were to stand up and denounce what I said here in front of me and in front of all of you, would that be sort of subversive to my authority to her as a husband? Yeah, it would be. It would be. So we have to take into account this higher, I don't know if you want to call it a higher, there's all these words I'm not supposed to use now because it's 2024 and everybody's all sensitive. The Bible talks about a clear hierarchy of the family, okay? The husband as the head of the house and the wife in submission to the head of, as the church is in submission to Christ. We have to be sensitive to these things and these truths, even as we prophesy, as we hear from God, and as we practice the gifts of the Spirit. I want to say this too. Many of the women in our congregation are much more sensitive to the things of the Spirit than many of the men are. I say this to the men's shame. When the Spirit of God speaks, we need to listen. And not try to cut somebody down because that they may be a woman or whatever. We need to listen. And I will say this. I said already that many of the women in our congregation are more sensitive to the things of the Spirit than the men are. I say that to the men's shame. And I will say this too, that many times and in many places, this is my personal little, this is not from God, this is my personal observation, okay? It's my personal observation that many of the times I see women in leadership or women taking the helm of governments or churches or families is because the men have failed to take their rightful place. And that might be a hard word, but I believe it's true. We're going to be talking about some of those things on Wednesday nights. So guys, come to 21st century men. We're going to be talking about some of these things. Anyway, spark some debate at coffee time, hopefully. Lastly, as we look at this passage in verse 36, Paul makes a pretty blatant, pretty brave or confrontational statement. Or was this all from you? He's given us instruction in the offering of the gifts and listening to God's voice. He says, or you could just set that all aside. Was it all from you? Was it from you that the word of God came? Are you the only ones that has reached? There is a truth that none of this is ours. It is God's. It is these gifts, these words, these tongues, these prophecies, these revelations are from Him, and they're by Him. They're through Him, and they're to Him. And if we want to do these things correctly, if we want to begin to incorporate elements maybe that we might be missing or things that we may have neglected over time, if we want to do these things correctly, we must remember that it all begins and ends not with us, but with God. And giving ourselves over to Him and what He would do through each of us. He ends here in verse 39 with a charge, I think, for us. Verse 39 says, "So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues." Earnestly desire to prophesy, and don't forbid speaking in tongues. Now we've already talked about a little bit. I guess we got to back up a little bit. What is prophesying? What's prophesying? Of course, we got the prophets of old, right? Thus saith the Lord. Is that what we're talking about? There's a differentiation. What we're talking about is what God is saying to you. Say to His people. What God is saying to you, say to His people. Desire to do that. He said we should want to do that. Who's up? I think we need to feed, or nurture rather, a hunger to want to share. Now, what we can infer from what we're reading from Paul is that there was a line of people that wanted to come share in this church. So much so that he had to tell them how to be in order. Two or three is good. And then you guys can interpret or you can evaluate what is said. They had people lining up to come share wisdom, lining up to share revelation, lining up to share a word from God to their brothers and sisters. It's kind of different than now, huh? Kind of different than now. And I know that in the past, we've made space during service to have a microphone, you know, and have people come and share. And we always do it for a while, and then it kind of dries up a little bit, and then we try it again, and we do it a while. But here we have instruction. We should all be earnestly desiring to speak, earnestly desiring to share what God is doing, what he's saying, just to do it in a decent and orderly fashion. Okay, certainly I'm going to wind up here. Certainly there's some differences in how we imagine this going in the church in Corinth and what it is that we do here each week here as we come together for worship. And I think that there's definitely space. We need to make space, I think, for some of these gifts to be more prevalent, more encouraged, more celebrated, more welcome in our worship times. But one of the things that we know from Scripture and we have as a barrier maybe for us is time, right? We're all wanting to get out of here like now because we're past time, right? We might have to get over that one if we really want to give space for God to speak. We might have to get over it. There's one passage in Acts where Paul's talking to the church there in this room. You know the one? And he talks and he keeps on talking and keeps on talking past midnight. And then he talked so long that the kid fell out of the window and fell like down and they thought he was dead, right? Or he died or whatever it is. Remember that passage? And then I was just reading that this morning actually, and they picked him up and they carried him up as dead, and Paul's like, don't worry, his life's still in him. And then Paul continues to talk till daybreak. Now I'm not saying that we have to have, you know, marathon like all night and into the morning churches, but if that's what God ends up doing, that's what he ends up doing. Time is a hurdle that we need to overcome. We need to give God time to do what he wants to do. Yeah, it's easy as that. Another one, I was going to talk about another one, but I think I'm going to skip that one. Maybe not. No, I'm not going to skip it. I think one thing that might help us, and I'm being pragmatic here, or practical, we need to see coming together in church as a spiritual activity, okay? Now, oftentimes, I don't know if it's something we do or if it's something we're just used to. We've kind of dried up our gatherings a little bit. They're orderly and they're predictable and everything, but it's something that each of us is going to have to do internally with God and personally, is when we enter in together, we have to understand and create a spiritual environment. As I did some reading and some studying about early church and early worship, ritual was a big part of it. Of course, many people had come out of either were Jews or pagans, or were used to ritual in worship, you know? Ritual, whether they were sacrificing to some pagan gods before they became Christians, or whether they were going through Jewish rites and different law stuff, you know. For many of them, ritual was very much a part. So when they would come into a worship gathering, you would see, you know, ritual going on. And this is not a ritual-rich environment, you know, where everyone walks in, you know. I mean, we're not doing ritual. And why that's important is because when somebody would walk in, there was a drastic difference from life outside to life inside, what was going on. It was a stark contrast that there was religion happening or that there was spiritual things going on. Maybe we need to cultivate a more spiritual atmosphere. What that means, we can discuss that. But we all should come into this place each week with a spiritual expectation and attitude. This is a spiritual time. It's not just a club, but a spiritual time. And lastly, kind of going on with that, I think what that might establish is an expectation. If you come into church each week just expecting the status quo, that's what you're going to get. If you come to church each week expecting to hear a revelation or to be healed, it's kind of like the movie The Incredibles. You know, anybody seen the movie The Incredibles? It's a silly kids movie. Well, they're superheroes, but they're hiding in like the witness protection program because they've been blacklisted in society or whatever. And so Mr. Incredible is a superhero. He's huge and he's really super strong and like Superman kind of qualities. And one day he has a bad day at work. I can't remember what happens, but he ends up in his driveway. He's in witness protection, you know. He's not supposed to do anything crazy. Well, he ends up like picking up his car or something because he's mad. Or slamming, I forget what all happens. He ends up picking up his car, and he looks over, and there's a neighbor kid on a trike in the driveway. And so then like the next day or a couple days later, he comes home, and there's that kid again. He's like, what do you want? What does he ask him? What are you waiting for? Something amazing, I guess, is what the kid says. Something amazing, I guess. That should be our expectation as we come to church, to see something amazing, to experience something amazing, to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and of God. Is that your expectation? Man, it's hard to modify our expectations, isn't it? It's really tough. But we ought to. It means involvement. It means creating a spiritual environment. It means being willing. Being willing. So take these things all in today. And as we move forward, I'm open, and I hope you are too. How it is that we can make space. How we can make space for God to do what he wants to do in this church. Because I believe there is room for growth. And I believe he wants to do more in your life and in my life and in this church. Amen. May it be so. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we again thank you that you are the Word and that you are alive and that you still speak. Lord, I ask you again to forgive us for selling short our expectations and your abilities as we come to gather together as your people in church. Lord, I do pray that you would help us to be sensitive to your voice, to be able to note when it is that you are trying to speak to your people. And I ask, Lord, that you help us to make space for that in our gatherings, that you might display your power and your love in your people. Lord, as we end this service today, I guess it would be inappropriate to say these things and then not give you a chance to speak. So I ask, Lord, that if you have things to say to your church today, that you would use your people to do so, and that you would enable us to have ears to hear what it is that you're speaking today. We are yours, Lord, and we give you ourselves. In your name, amen.